Improve it, peeps. Welcome to today's episode. I am so excited you are here. I am Erin Deal. If you are new to the Improve It Peep crew, I am the founder. I am the CEO of the company Improve It, and I'm also your host here at the Improve It podcast. Now, I just want to give you some clarification on Improve It, the company. Improve It's purpose is to elevate how you work through play. We are an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. And if you have pressed play on this show, my friend, it is no coinky dink. You are meant to be here, my friend, because you are a people leader who cares deeply about the people you lead and the lives that you touch. You want to make this world a better place than you found it. And I am so thrilled to have you here with me today. I know your time is so valuable. I promise you, we will not waste it. There is so much to talk about as we enter into this new era. It's the beginning of 2025. And I just wanted to start off today's episode, because at the end of 2024, myself and Improve It team, Improve It podcast team, received this amazing review from one of our peeps. So let's give it a listen right now.
I've just been trying to send you a review. I really enjoyed listening to the show. It's my first time listening to your show. And I had come through to listen to, I think it's Shireen Daniels, somebody from England. The show was very interesting, informative, and I think I have to say entertaining and informative, and I enjoyed listening to it very much. And I like the way that people are encouraged to look for new ways, if you like, to an old problem, and hopefully to get a new result. So I enjoyed it. I'm leaving a message now, but really I wanted to leave a review to say that the podcast was very entertaining. And I listened, of course, from beginning to end and enjoyed it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
We love hearing from you. That review made us smile from ear to ear. Literally, when you send in a voice note, which you can do on SpeakPipe, which is in our show notes, anytime you want to ask us a question or leave us a review or just give us a comment, you can always use SpeakPipe, which you'll find in the show notes here. Or you can do what makes us do a little happy dance, which is leave 5 stars on iTunes and then write a comment about an episode that impacted you. Or you could even leave a question in the review there. How people find this show is through word of mouth. And so the more reviews we have, the higher caliber of guests we can bring on to talk to you, the more people we can bring to this amazing Improve It Peep family. So thank you so much to that listener who sent us that SpeakPipe. I want to encourage you to either leave a review or send us a voice note. We would love to hear from you, my friends. So let's get to it. Today, we are diving into something that could completely shift how you show up for your team and for yourself. We are talking all about intention setting for leaders. Now, it's not just goal setting, but it's crafting a mindset and daily habits that fuel your leadership journey. Now, if you've ever felt like your days are running you instead of the other way around, this episode, my friend, is your reset button. We're going to explore mindful leadership techniques, vision-driven habits, and we're going to talk about how to lead with purpose and clarity, something that I know all of us want to achieve. So let's go ahead, set the tone for the year ahead, because intentional leaders create empowered teams. Let's get into it, peeps. So I want to talk about this concept of intention setting and its significance in leadership. If you have read my book, I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy. Very long subtitle there. You know that I used to have my days run me, not have me run my days. I talk about a version of myself, which you might relate to, called Upset You in the book. And this is in the very first chapter of the book. Upset You is just one of those people who is erratic. They get up late because they've hit snooze on their alarm clock one too many times. Once they get up, they're running around their house like they got hot coals under their feet trying to get ready. They finally get into the bathroom to brush their teeth, and instead of getting the toothpaste on their toothbrush, they squirt it all over the counter. Then they finally get done in the bathroom and run around the house looking for those most perfect pair of socks that are most definitely in the bottom of their cluttered drawer. Now, after they finally get dressed, they go outside, and this Upset You commutes via bus to work. So Upset You gets on the extra crowded 151 where they have to stand for 20 minutes with their arm over their head, staring directly into the armpit of a stranger for the next 20 minutes while fumbling with their iPhone in the other hand because it's not best practice to make eye contact with another stranger's armpit. And then once Upset You finally gets to work, they decide, I'm going to treat myself and go down to the local Starbucks in their building where they wait in line to get that cup of Java Jolt. And then once they finally get to their desk, they race in, put their head down, and pray that their coworkers don't notice that they are indeed 15 minutes late again. Now, the first thing Upset You does to start their day is open up their laptop and their email. And the first thing they see in that email is a response from a vendor. And they angrily reply because they did not ask to be sold to today. After that, Upset You picks up one of seven post-it notes left out on their desk from the day before to aimlessly start a task because they have no formal start to their day. 5 minutes into the workday, Upset You puts their head down on their keyboard and sighs because this is Groundhog's Day. This is day after day after day. That story, Upset You, as I mentioned, is a true story, my friends. It is mine. And I have to tell you, that was how I started every single day as a new business owner. It was how I started every single day leading a team. It was how I started every single day before jumping into client calls and interactions. And it was not great for my nervous system, for the intentions of our business, for providing clarity and purpose, and also a great experience for my team. My team could feel this energy radiating off of me day after day. I said radiating, very funny right there, radiating. So what I'm telling you is, what I'm going to teach you today stems from many years of myself not being able to intention set because my nervous system was too erratic. And I have to tell you, now, after many years of being in business, Improve It has been around for 10 years, I finally figured out a system and a schedule that helps me set goals and intentions with ease. I've done many different programs, including our coveted CEO Day that we do here internally at Improve It. I was a part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, which gave me some tips and tricks on how to be intentional and set goals. And I also am now using a system called Traction, or the entrepreneurial operating system, in our business here at Improve It. But we have really taken a lot of these concepts we've learned from a variety of modalities and created a structure that works for us. So today's episode's goal is to provide you with a practical 5-step framework for effective intention setting. And I'm going to do it by giving you some improv-backed based techniques and a little bit of research so you can go from Upset You to Upward You, so you can lead your team intentionally, so the energy that you're emitting outwardly to that team feels good and it feels peaceful and it feels pure, not erratic and reactionary and condescending. Because I have to tell you, when you are reacting as Upset You, you have no space for innovation. So Let's get into this five-step framework for effective intention setting right now. Step one, you're going to have some self-reflection and awareness. You need to know your hot mess moments. You notice the title of this episode is From Hot Mess to Goal Getter. This is the real talk you've been waiting for here, my friends, because this matters. Effective intention setting starts with understanding where you are right now, knowing your strengths, knowing your blind spots, and having patterns and witnessing those patterns that might hold you back. So as I did with Upset You, a lot of leaders often push forward without pausing to reflect. You just keep going and going and going, which leads to burnout, or it leads to unclear priorities, not only for yourself, but for your team. So here's an example. I want you to picture a leader that you've had who was constantly juggling tasks, who was jumping from meeting to meeting, but feeling very unproductive at the end of the day. I can think of two leaders in my life who felt like this. And when you reflect on this person, what do you think? When you see this leader who you were led by going from meeting to meeting to meeting, when they jump in the meeting with you, they feel stressed. You can feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel as the person who is being led by this human? So when you take a moment and you reflect on how this hot mess state can reveal lack of prioritization, we understand that it is this lack of priorities, not time, that is the issue. Because when this person is like, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time, they do have the time. They just lack the ability to prioritize because they haven't reflected on where they're at currently. So I'm going to give you an improv exercise. Now, you can do this with a person on your team. You could do this with your entire team if you'd like. This is going to take some vulnerability, and it is also going to take some chutzpah, if you will. So one person is going to act as the leader. So let's say you lead Susan, all right? And Susan is your partner. And you're going to ask Susan to act like you in a typical day. Just mime the actions. No verbal cues here, just miming the nonverbal cues, hand gestures, body language, movement. Your job is to mirror exactly what Susan is doing. So this is going to be hard to watch. Oh, it's going to sting just a little bit, because when you witness yourself being mirrored back to you, you're going to reflect, pun intended, on a lot of things. Now, after you have been yourself mirroring Susan, Susan is then going to be mirrored back by you. So you are going to take on the nonverbal cues of Susan. So for example, let's say Susan rushes in every morning really late and runs to her desk and puts her things down abruptly and just starts typing, typing, typing on her keyboard. Those might be the actions that you're doing. And then Susan is mirroring back to you what you're doing. So she's copying those things. This is a playful activity, but it promotes self-awareness and it highlights the influence of leaders' actions on the team. So it'll be super reflective for you, how you are coming across to your team, and super reflective for Susan. Now, you have to set the stage for this a little bit. You can't just say, hey, we're going to do this activity. You can set the stage by saying, hey, I listened to this podcast. It's all about intention setting. I got the idea from this show to do this exercise, and I thought it would be really helpful and useful. Now, keep in mind, we don't want to go down the negative rabbit train, but I just thought it would be interesting for us to reflect on how we show up to one another. Now, after the activity, you can debrief it. So you can ask, what did you notice about your habits? Were you leading with clarity or was there some hesitation? And I want you to take time with that debrief more so than the activity. The activity will be quick, but what you're going to witness in that debrief is a really true depiction and reflection of how you're coming across to your team and how they are coming across to others. Now, I want to give you some research to support this because a study published in the Journal of Business Ethics highlights that authentic leadership, which is rooted in self-awareness, directly reduces employee turnover by fostering trust and transparency. So just by doing this activity, showing authentically how people are coming across, having the self-awareness to make adjustments, it is going to make those people stick with you longer. It is something that even if they leave their job now, they will take with them years down the road. So that is step one, self-reflection and awareness, knowing your hot mess moments. Let's get to the second step in our framework, which is number two, defining clear and purposeful intentions. We're calling this the goal getter shift. So here's why this matters. Goals focus on the outcome. For example, your outcome might be, I want to increase the revenue by 20%, but intentions focus on the process and the mindset behind it. So the process and the mindset might be, if we want to increase revenue by 20%, the process and mindset might be, we want to lead with confidence. We want to stay present in meetings. Intentions drive the why behind the actions, making goals more sustainable. Here's an example. So you may set a goal to improve your team communication, but you fail to achieve it because the intention, which is you want to foster psychological safety, was not clear. So you could reframe this and you can recommit to creating a safe space where my team feels heard, leading to better communication outcomes. So when we identify the why behind the intention, this is where things really start to shift. I have an improv exercise, my friends, that is going to help you. And if you have listened to this show for any period of time, you know that yes and is one of the most talked about principles in improv, and it is one of my favorite things, and it applies to so many areas of leadership and communication. So this is yes and vision building. So you're going to get a partner yet again, somebody on your team, and one person is going to state a leadership goal. So for example, you might say, I want to hold better one-on-ones. And then your partner, let's say they're somebody who reports into you, is going to respond with yes, and they are going to add an intention. So yes, and I want to ensure my team feels valued during those meetings. So it's not just about the one-on-ones. The purpose or the meaning behind the one-on-ones is to make sure your team feels valued. So this exercise builds on goals with purposeful intentions. So you'll take turns. One person will state the goal, then the second person will yes and the why behind the goal. And you can continue that ripple effect of yes and for the goal. So you can have many intentions behind those one-on-one meetings. So what you're doing here is really emphasizing how yes and fosters collaboration and enhances clarity. When people know the why behind the intention, they are so much more likely to follow through with that intention, to make it a priority, and to feel more involved along the way. I also got some research for you, my friends, because according to Gallup, leaders with a clear sense of purpose are 2.4 times more likely to engage employees effectively, directly impacting retention and productivity. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Take that to your CEO right now if you think that this doesn't matter, because it does. When you can have employees be retained, when you can have them be more productive because they understand the why behind the intention, Oh my gosh. Everyone is going to thrive. The individual, the team, the organization. Bada bing, bada boom. Let's go to step three. Creating implementation plans. So you're going to turn your intentions into action. So here's why this matters. Intentions without the follow-through are just ideas. Leaders have to connect intentions to specific actionable plans. This is where the go-getting gets real. And we're talking real talk on this show today. So here's an example. If your intention is to lead with more empathy, you can commit to checking in with each team member for 15 minutes weekly. This creates triggers like calendar reminders, and it reinforces the intention, embedding it into daily routines. So you're going to set the intention and then put the follow through. The intention is, let's have more empathy. I want to understand my team more. My action is I'm going to create a calendar invite for 15 minutes with my team member every single week. This is triggering you to remind you that you are going to follow through with that intention. Now, I also have an exercise here for you that I think you're going to like. It's called the obstacle course. And this is pretty cool. So you're going to grab a partner yet again, shocking to no one. And you're going to map out your intentions while your partner throws obstacles. These are funny. They're unpredictable. They're sort of like improv prompts. So for example, here's an example of how this could work. So you are going to start talking about your intentions and Susan is going to start throwing in obstacles. So if I'm you, I would start saying, okay, my intention is to lead with more empathy. My intention is to make sure that the team feels seen, heard, and valued. My intention is to make sure that we do something as a team once a quarter to make sure morale is high. And Susan will interject in there and say something like, well, we can't do that. There's no budget. Or Susan can jump in there and say, people don't have 15 minutes on their calendars. They're jam-packed. So this is allowing them to overcome obstacles in real time. And here's where the magic happens in that debrief. So once Susan starts giving you those obstacles, you can give a rebuttal to that obstacle. So she might say, you want to do these quarterly in-person events. There's no budget. And you might say, you know what? We'll find some free ways to do this via Zoom because everybody's in a different space. And then you'll go down that rabbit hole of planning an event over Zoom. Maybe you do bingo. Maybe it's you have everybody bring something that is their favorite thing in their office and talks about it. So you go down that rabbit hole until Susan then throws a wrench in your plan again. And then you go down the rabbit hole explaining how you're going to make it happen. And the debrief is really important because you're going to talk about how you adapted your plan, what stayed intact despite the chaos. And this whole activity's purpose is to drive home the importance of flexibility in action planning. You have to be adaptable. You have to be able to move things around on the spot. Intentions are not going to be perfectly set in stone. There's going to be things that come up that have enforced you to adapt. I'm dealing with something like that right now with a quarterly rock that my team and I have set. It doesn't look like I'm going to find a venue for an event I want to throw this quarter. So we're going to have to move it to April. And I have to be okay with that and adapt with that and change around some things. And my team does too. We have to be moldable. So here is something I want to just make sure you understand. You have to have follow through and you have to be specific and you have to be adaptable. Research supports this, my friend. Implementation intention studies reveal that linking actions to specific cues, so when I start my day, I will spend 10 minutes planning, increases goal achievement by 91%. So set those intentions, realize how you're going to create an actionable plan to make it happen, and follow through. Spend those 2 minutes planning. Have those 15-minute calls with your team weekly if empathy is an intention of yours. It's going to increase your achievement rate by 91%. Simple, easy, but a good reminder that actually following through is going to make it work for everybody. Hey there, I want to take a quick moment to pause. Don't worry, this isn't an ad break. We actually don't run ads on the show. But if you're enjoying this episode, I think you'll love one of our offerings at Improve It. Let me introduce you to Intention Setting. It's our improv-based virtual workshop that's all about helping you align your daily life with your core values and creative aspirations. It's also not only a virtual workshop, but a two-hour in-person workshop for you and your team. We kick things off with a fun, energizing, shake-it-out session to set the tone. From there, we dive into the ideal day exercise. Well, you'll reflect on your ideal morning, workday, and evening could look like. You'll also explore how your environment, your relationships, and habits can either fuel or drain your creativity and well-being. Then we'll take it further. You'll identify your core values and pick a guiding word to carry you throughout 2025. In breakout rooms and in small groups, you'll share with others, building a community of support while walking in your intentions and next steps. By the end of this two-hour session in person or hour and a half online, whether you have that experience virtually or in person, you'll leave with clarity and an action plan for making your ideal day happen every single day. If this sounds like something you or your team would benefit from, I want you to head over to learntoimproveit.com to learn more. And hey, if you've got a teammate who could use this, send this episode their way. Please don't forget, you can also sign up for our newsletter in the show notes so you never miss a thing or a new workshop that we're implementing. Thanks for listening, friends. Let's get back into the episode. All right, let's get to step four in our five-step framework. Maintaining flexibility and adaptability, expecting the unexpected. So why it matters? Let me just say this. Leadership rarely unfolds as planned. The ability to pivot without losing sight of the bigger picture is crucial. Intentions must be adaptable to ever-evolving situations. Similar to what we talked about in step three, here's an example. I want you to imagine a project derailing due to unforeseen budget cuts. A flexible leader doesn't abandon the intention, but adapts the goal to align with the new circumstances. So instead of the budget cuts being the problem, they scale back, but they maintain the quality. So here's another activity that you can use with your team to drive home this point. It's an improv exercise we use all the time called New Choice. I've taught you variations of this in a variety of ways. Here's how it's going to play out for expecting the unexpected. You're going to have partners partner up, and you're going to have them act out a typical work scenario. At random points, there is going to be a third person calling out New Choice, forcing those two scene partners to change their response immediately. So for example, if I'm in a scene with Susan and we're going back and forth about this awesome project that we have, but I say something like, oh man, but there's budget cuts. The person who's on the outside yelling New Choice is going to say, New Choice. And I have to redefine the last thing I just said. Instead of budget cuts, I could say, oh, but these new vendors are trying to change things in our decor. And then I keep going throughout the scene with that mindset until the facilitator yells again, New Choice, and I have to change the last thing that I just said, or they yell New Choice to Susan, and she has to change the last thing that she said. So this encourages people to stay nimble while anchoring in your intention. And so hopefully you can get through this typical work scenario, and it's going to get pie in the sky because when you yell New Choice, they have to come up with something new on the fly. Not only is it fun for the team, but it's also reminding them that things are going to come up. We have to expect the unexpected, and you're going to use the debrief as the opportunity to reflect on how changing tactics can preserve core intentions while adapting to real-time needs. So you can ask questions like, okay, how did this activity resemble real-life interactions? Well, we have to adapt on the fly. We have to be able to do it with ease. Okay, what did you notice about yourself as you were doing this scene with your scene partner? Well, I noticed that it was hard for me to come up with something on the fly, but I did it. great job. How can you incorporate this in your day-to-day? So you keep going down that rabbit hole and allowing them to see how this activity really allows them in real time to realize they're capable of coming up with new choices and that they need to stay nimble in order to make intentions work. I got some research for you on this too, my friends. Studies from Harvard Business Review show that organizations with adaptable leadership experience 30% higher innovation rates as leaders model resilience and agility. 30% higher innovation rates. And that's from Harvard. Okay, so write that down. Here is your fifth step in this five-step framework. You're going to reflect and iterate. It's progress, not perfection. Now, here's why this matters. Intentions are not set it and forget it. Leadership requires ongoing reflection. It requires adjusting based on experience. And this step cements the long-term growth plan. So here's an example. Let's say you set an intention to mentor somebody on the junior team, but you realize that after 3 months that scheduling conflicts are hindering the ability for you to meet up consistently. And then you take a moment and you reflect and you adjust and you say, you know what, this isn't going to work out. Let's do this bi-weekly instead of weekly, keeping the intention alive, but you're modifying the method. So it's not a failure, it's a modification. And you know, if you've listened to this show a long time, that we love failure here at Improve It. So I have something called a failure celebration for you to take back to your team. So you're going to ask your team to share a time that they set an intention, but they didn't follow through with it. This could be during a weekly meeting. You don't have to set up a specific meeting for this. It could just be an opportunity in a weekly meeting to change things up. So you're going to encourage people to share this intention that they didn't follow through with. And after this, you're all going to say, fail, yeah. This is turning that perceived failure into a moment of growth. So this is such a fun activity. We use this. If you follow our newsletters, we shout out our failures every single week in our Fail Forward Friday newsletter. It's so fun. People always comment on the failures that we've had because we're celebrating them. And what this activity does is it normalizes the idea that not every intention sticks, and it reinforces that progress is iterative. It's not perfection. It's progress, my friends. And let me back it up with that research, because I have heard that reflective practices boost leadership efficiency by 23%. And this, my friends, comes from a study by the Center for Creative Leadership. When we reflect, it boosts our leadership efficiency by 23%. So, my friends, you have listened to me talk for a long time today. This has been a show filled with activities, filled with opportunities for you to take these things back to your team. Here's my ask and your homework. I want you to apply one of these frameworks immediately by choosing one intention to focus on for the week. Okay, you can use any step in this framework to start. If you want to just start with step one, know your hot mess moments, self-reflect, use the exercise mirror, start with the intention and see where you're at. So let's say your intention is, I want to have more empathy with my team members. Let's go back to that example, right? I want to be a more empathetic leader. That's my intention. Okay, let's see. Where are my hot mess moments? Where am I not showing up? That's step one in our framework. So identifying those hot mess moments, you can use that exercise mirror, as I mentioned. Then you're going to define the purpose behind the intention. This is what we call the goal-getter shift. So my idea here is I want to have more empathetic moments with my team. I want to be a more empathetic leader. Why am I doing this? What is my intention behind it? Well, I want to have a better understanding of the human behind the work. I want to have a more meaningful relationship. So this is giving you the intention, the attention to the intention, I should say. Step three, you're going to turn the intention into action. Okay, I want to be a more empathetic leader. Let me set those 15 minutes on the calendar for each one of my team members to check in with them weekly. Step four is being flexible and adapting, expecting the unexpected. Okay, well, I'm realizing that these biweekly meetings these weekly meetings are hard. Why don't I change these meetings to biweekly? Because 15 minutes every single week is starting to eat up a lot of my time. I'm not getting a lot of work done, but biweekly is allowing me to adapt. And then I'm going into step five, reflecting and iterating. Well, okay, I set up these meetings now biweekly. It's been about a month and a half of me doing that. It's working. I'm seeing some results. Let's reflect on how these meetings have been. And is there something I could implement inside of the meetings that would make them more meaningful? Progress, not perfection. So I want you to pick an intention, start with step one, and focus on that intention for the week. And in the evenings, I want you to reflect on if you've honored or didn't honor that intention. I want you to share your progress. You can do this on social media. You can tag me at It's Erin Deal or at Improve It Co. on Instagram. You can tag me on LinkedIn. I want you to create this ripple effect of intentional leadership. You can send this episode to a friend, but I really want you to hold yourself accountable for taking time with your intentions. My friends, I am so happy you pressed play on today's episode. You know what I'm going to say. Keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I will see you next time.
Improve It. Improve It Podcast.